you know, all the things that are the most fulfilling in my life right now are like, literally, I don't think any of them are ones I could have like put on a piece of paper 5 years ago and said, this is the thing I want to have happen.
Hey, friend, it's David Dubinsky here in Brooklyn. Here at the Portfolio Career Podcast, we help you take ownership of your portfolio career and design the life that you want to live. Today's conversation is with Rebecca Bastian. Rebecca is the CEO and co-founder of OwnTrail, the author of Blaze Your Own Trail. And OwnTrail is an extension and a company and a platform that's built upon the book. So it's really, really fascinating. Rebecca talks about the story here, about how it happened. And as you can imagine, the name of the book and the name of her company is all about helping people realize that they are able to blaze their own trail and that there is no one path and that things are constantly changing and evolving, and to take chances and to know that there's no right or wrong answer for you. And Rebecca is also the leader and creator of Authentech Movement, which is helping other founders with fundraising. And so Rebecca, this is just an example of Rebecca building community around some of the issues and problems that she's been facing, has faced as a founder. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced job opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So as we're getting started here, got a lot of things to talk about, but one thing I was curious about was a Craigslist ad. Was a lucky Craigslist ad or an unexpected Craigslist ad had a meaningful impact in some of your journey? I would love to, if I'm right about that, I would love to hear a little bit about that story.
Yeah, well, that's how I found the job at Zillow that I took in 2005. I'd been at Microsoft for a few years then and was looking for, actually, to be honest, just looking for a better commute. turns out I was looking for so much more and found it, but I didn't know it at the time. But yeah, I was actually, I think, the first Zillow employee to answer a Craigslist ad for a job, because it was still very small in stealth mode. So everyone had kind of known each other already. And so it worked out really well. I ended up being there for 15 years and having a really amazing career there.
I was going to say, what was the secret of the Craigslist ad? But it sounds like you were looking for no commute. And in a world these days where there's less commutes, it's not, that can't be like the, you know, the criteria, so to speak. It's not as.
Yeah. Now you can not even be in the same state as a job and have your pick of them. So, but yeah, at that time, well, I think also in 2005, there's a few fewer job search websites as well. So Craigslist wasn't as random of a place to find a dream job, but also commute was a huge factor. Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing. And we'll talk about the trail, so to speak. And trail's an important word to you. And so you worked there for a while. And one thing I think was really interesting in kind of doing some research was like the importance of kind of side projects, even while working at, you know, even working at a Zillow and working a bunch there, like, you know, full-time role. You also had, you know, side projects there. Maybe talk to us about those side projects and how you were able to kind of carve out some space to work on those. I think sometimes when you work a full-time job, it's like hard to find side projects at a company. And then also, you know, personally, sometimes it can be tough. So would love to hear about that. And yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think in the early days at Zillow, it was basically, you know, you could raise your hand for anything because it's an early stage startup, and that's the nature of startups. There's always more to be done than can possibly get done. So, you know, I think it started off with seeing opportunities that needed to be done and raising my hand for them. But then, yeah, as I progressed in my career, you know, one thing that you start to do is notice where there's opportunities that maybe no one's already, you know, put a job posting out for, asking for, and realizing that there's problems to be solved and thinking of ways to solve them. And that's definitely something that I started doing more. You know, I started working on the first mobile apps on the side when the iPhone first came out. with a group of a few developers that we were just interested in it and did it as a side project. And that ended up, you know, really taking off when it, when we finally launched it, probably close to a year later, because we were building everything from scratch. But that ended up being, you know, 2/3 of traffic ended up being on mobile after a little while. And I was able to, you know, be the first product leader in the newly formed mobile team after that. So that was a side project that turned into a full-time thing. And then my last couple of years at Zillow, I started a new org within the company called Community and Culture. And that stemmed from side projects I'd been doing around diverse representation and social impact and culture for several years while I was VP of product. And then kind of had a big vision for how to tie those pieces together into a whole department and a full-time executive role, and was able to do that. And that was a really incredible experience too. And then my company now, OwnTrail, I started not with the intention of starting a company, but, you know, as, you know, kind of in response to a book that I wrote, Blazer OwnTrail, and it started with a side project thinking it would be a cool book launch platform, and it kind of took on a life of its own. And I've been building this for the past couple of years now.
And so that is so fascinating that it was a book marketing, book launch website turned into a company. What take us to that moment when you were like, this could actually be something. And maybe there wasn't a defining moment or not, but what were some things that you were looking at to say like, hey, I think there actually is a little bit more here than an awesome kind of website.
Yeah, it didn't spend very long in its book website mode. I think that was just a mental jumping off point for me, to be honest. Once I had signed with my publisher and was waiting for the book to come out, that's when I started thinking about, like, you know, how to market it and ways that I'm like, oh, it could be cool to, you know, instead of having like the traditional, like, I'm the author and this is the book I wrote, like, have it be a little more interactive, since the book Blaze Your Own Trail is exploration of the different decisions and pathways that women take through our personal and professional lives, written in the format of a choose your own adventure book. And so I'm like, oh, there's all these different paths through the book. It'd be cool if women shared what their paths have been as well. And well, I guess a few things happened. I started having a lot of kind of aha moments about really big problems to be solving that really centered on what it looks like to authentically share what our journeys are, like our real journeys, not what you see on LinkedIn or social media of like the picture perfect end results, but like, how did we really get here? And there's power in owning that ourselves. And then there's also power in seeing that from other people, especially people that, you know, that essentially look like us, that share our same identities or experiences. Because especially as women, we don't always have that in our purview. And we can look around and see everything that looks so perfect and linear and feel like we're getting it wrong, when in reality, very few journeys do look very linear. And being able to really see what those different twists and turns look like can provide solidarity and a lot of confidence as well. So anyway, so that was kind of the mental epiphany. And then my friend Carolyn, who I actually used to commute on that awful commute to Microsoft with, I'd been hanging out with her right around the time that I finished writing my book. And she's like, oh yeah, she's an amazing software engineer. She's like, if you want me to make you a book launch website, let me know. And so I called her up when I was having these ideas. I'm like, you know that website you offered to me?
Talk to us a little bit about when writing the book, when maybe, you know, hadn't been writing as much, and writing is becoming more of a passion project now. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't discover that I liked writing until I was about 36. So, which is really cool to me. There's like, just kind of a side note, but something that gets me excited is that, like, I didn't start doing aerial acrobatics until I was 30. And I didn't start doing a lot of different, like, I started doing some more fiber arts a couple of years ago. And I, you know, so anyway, the idea that there's all these like creative expressions inside of us that we don't even necessarily know that we enjoy or that we want to be tapping into, that we could discover anytime, is super exciting. Cause I'm like, oh, what else do I not know that I could be loving doing and creating? So anyway, the writing thing started with a small local women in tech group asking me to write a guest blog post for them. And I did, and people seemed to really like it. It was about something around imperfect success. So on theme with everything else I've been sharing. But yeah, people really liked it. So I did kind of a wild thing and cold emailed Arianna Huffington and sent it to her. And she responded, this is great. I'd love to give you a byline on Huffington Post. So then I started writing. I went from zero to Huffington Post in a couple of weeks. And then once I had that outlet or platform to be writing on and realizing I really loved it, there was just all these different topics I started exploring. And I just really found it to be a really fun way to process what I'm learning and thinking and share it. And I mean, obviously I grew up through product management. So I've been writing like specs and stuff through my whole career, but this is the first time of writing for a more public audience. So that's that. I spent a couple of years doing that, a few other bylines, and then I had this idea for my book. And I said, I think I'll write a book. I literally woke up in the middle of the night with this idea for like a choose your own adventure book about women's life paths, and I ran with it. And then I've now been writing for Forbes for the past few years. That's my main publication, and then some other bylines sometimes. So it's great. I really, I find writing to be kind of a form of self-care, which of course is the privilege of not doing it as a living, where like I can wait until I have something that I'm excited to write about and then write it instead of having deadlines to work towards. So,
and then, and so you started building this company and you launched it February 2020, right in the beginning of, you know, a change of many people's journeys. And talk to us a little bit about kind of starting a company in the middle of pandemic, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, obviously unplanned. And I don't really have a sense of what it would have been like otherwise. Like, we didn't have any before data. We launched right when the pandemic was hitting. So it seems like we've been well positioned in terms of, you know, we've been digital first. Like, we didn't have plans for in real life programming or anything like that. It's a tech platform. So so that's been in our favor. And then, you know, it's all about helping women navigate difficult things, which there's been no shortage of for the past couple of years. And I think, you know, in a time where our personal and professional lives are so inherently intertwined more than ever, you know, people kind of working out of their homes and stuff, you know, I think that's been really well aligned. And just the need for real community and ways to connect with people across divides. So yeah, from that sense, I think that Ventura was really well timed. I mean, I'm glad I gave my notice before the pandemic hit. I think it would have been really scary to do so if I knew what was coming. But I've actually found work to be, you know, one of the most fulfilling parts of my life during all of this tumultuousness. And so, you know, having that sense of purpose and just getting up every day to work on something that you're so, so passionate about is nice.
Yeah. And talk to us about like I've gone around the website and checked out your trail, and talk to us about kind of, since you've seen so many other people's trails and I've heard people kind of talk about it and stuff, like talk to us a little bit about like what happens when you start to either notice and write down and visualize and see other things. Is there any kind of things that can happen, any ahas or epiphanies that happen when you start to kind of go through this work?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing is just kind of unpacking the way that you're used to describing yourself or telling your story, right? Because I think we get really kind of conditioned to recite these bios about ourselves that, you know, tend to be kind of like our professional titles or our degrees or, you know, like, you know, familial status or whatever it is, but like we describe ourselves in certain ways that are not untrue, but they're just like one part of the picture, and they're not necessarily even the identities or the roles that feel the most relevant to us in the moment. So I think that the act of sharing your trail, which, you know, we intentionally don't have a like import from LinkedIn button or anything like that. Like we really encourage women to share in a different way than we have been doing so far. And so I think a lot of times it's helpful to look at trails that other people are sharing first and kind of get a feel for like, oh, I see, we're this is real talk here. We're sharing real things about our lives. And then, yeah, like looking kind of both backwards at the different milestones in our lives that have been formative to who we are and have brought us here can be really amazing. And just even recognizing how much you have accomplished and done and made it through. And sometimes we sell ourselves short in those narratives. And then, you know, sharing the things that we're navigating right now and the things we're aspiring to. And that's really powerful to put those aspirations out there. But we also have ways for to be able to ask for help on those different milestones. So if there's something that I'm working through right now or that I'm working towards, I can put what we call a help beacon on that milestone. And that's kind of like a bat signal to the Own Trail community saying, like, this is something I need help with. And the things that women are asking for help on, like, really ranges hugely between like professional steps or opportunities to like, you know, internal feelings to, you know, relationships or health, or, you know, there's so many different areas. And so I think both the power of, you know, the reflection and owning our story that happens, you know, as an individual thing, but also the communal power of really helping each other make progress towards our goals is, yeah, I mean, we hear really incredible stories from our community about it, which is amazing to see this vision unfolding in that way.
Yeah. And I love how, like, so, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, it's obviously really hard to raise money for a startup and it's hard to grow it. And talk to us a little bit also about how kind of it seems like you've utilized a little bit of kind of your struggles or your personal story there to start to help other founders through another community that you've started. And talk to us, you know, a little bit about kind of ways to integrate more and more of the kind of the personal and professional life that you've been able to do so much.
Yeah. Fundraising is not that fun. And especially, you know, I think that there's definitely biases that exist in that space. And so us being a fully women-led team that's building a product for women, and a very values-driven product at that, and we haven't been willing to compromise on those values at all, made it more, even more of a numbers game than it already is. And we've also been fortunate in that we have raised a pre-seed round, $1.2 million pre-seed round, with really incredible investors, and currently raising seed rounds and have some really amazing investors stepping into that. So it's taken more work, but it's not impossible. But yeah, what I kind of discovered along the way is that for us with Own Trail, I kind of felt like there's a lot of boxes to be checked in terms of, you know, what type of company are you, both literal check boxes and metaphorical ones. And for us, I never really felt like we fit into any of the existing check boxes. Like, probably the closest that we would come to is social media, but we really think of Own Trail as being the antithesis of social media. So that didn't feel like the right one. So through that, I started talking about like, well, what if there's a different category here that's not listed, and maybe that category is more values driven and human centered in a way that doesn't commoditize people. And so I started talking about that. I gave it a catchy name, Authentech, and I wrote a Forbes article about it, and I was, you know, kind of talking about it on Twitter. And what happened is a lot of different founders, about 150 of them now, raised their hands and said, "This is the kind of company I'm building too." You know, I never had a name for it. And so we have this really vibrant community of amazing founders that are building across different verticals and business models and types of products, but they all have that really kind of human and community-centered element at their core. And so that's like having a community of founders is incredibly valuable as a founder, just having people to learn from and share with and vent and celebrate and the whole thing. But then I've also, you know, I started seeing that maybe there's an opportunity here for more of an intentional ecosystem around this type of company. So I've started sending out monthly deal flow to investors that are interested in authentic companies and just trying to streamline that process a little bit more for everybody, which has been cool. I've met some really inspiring people in the process.
Yeah. And potentially, you know, it could become an investor over time. Right? Is that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm already writing some small checks into some of these companies myself as a dabbling angel investor, and which is a great way of learning more about, like, you know, I think the like founder investor dynamics can be really skewed from a power dynamics stuff. And so like getting experience on all sides of that is valuable. And then, yeah, I very much would like to build some new tables that are much more inclusive than the existing ones, or, you know, on my more dramatic days, just, you know, tear down all the walls or whatever it is. So I think this is a great opportunity to be taking steps in that direction.
And it seems like some of the stuff you've been doing with the NFT space as well is another kind of step in that direction of, you know, new ownership structures or new funding mechanisms, new community driven. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, the whole premise of Web3, I mean, there's several premises, like there's the whole technological premise that's built on, but kind of philosophically, it's a very community driven and decentralized ecosystem that mirrors a lot of the values that are important to me in building OwnTrail and you know, the way that we think about Authentech. And so that's really what pulled me into that space. And you know, like all new areas, there's and existing areas, there's just so much opportunity to create more equitable systems here. And especially because like the whole Web3 space is really early on. And so, you know, what we do right now in terms of diversity of who's investing, who's creating, you know, who's seen and heard and showing up in this space, like that has huge downstream implications if you believe that the technology and the decentralized ownership structure of Web3 is going to be vague, which I do think that. And so, you know, I think there's a great opportunity to be applying that equity lens here. And I like to do that through, you know, sharing ideas and amplifying voices and investing in the people that I want to see succeed. And there's a lot of opportunities for that right now in Web3.
Well, if, you know, an early Zillow employee is talking about pioneering technologies, you better listen. You know, someone's catching on to another new trend. Take
I'm not the only one talking about it either. Yeah.
And talk to us about kind of the three questions or the three ways that, you know, if someone's trying to make a career shift, you know, start a new job, pivot a little bit, is there three questions or three ways that you like to kind of think about things?
Yeah, I think you're referring to a framework that I've shared in a few places around kind of triangulating the answer to what you're good at, what you're passionate about, and where you're needed. And I think that when you look at the answer to those three questions, and that can change over time, of course, but that can kind of give you directionally a good idea of opportunities. And sometimes, you know, like we were talking about earlier in terms of like side projects, where you're needed isn't always necessarily like a big sign pointing to we need you here, right? Sometimes it's identifying problems to solve or opportunities and running with them. But I think, you know, the whole premise of OwnTrail is this idea that there is no one right path. And so I think when you believe that, it's also helpful to have some kind of directional guidepost to help you. You know, there's no one right path. What do I do, right? And so I think that that can be kind of a good signal for where to be looking.
Yeah, and with your book, the choose your own adventure side of it is fun. Like you literally can just like bounce around, and it does really just kind of just showcase like how small decisions, you know, change things for a little while, and then you kind of move around a little bit and then go back. And but there is no real kind of end game, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is fun, right? Like I think that when you're not just focused on an end result, but you allow yourself to be a little bit more focused on the journey, like that's more fun, but it also leaves you open to a lot more opportunities. Like, you know, all the things that are the most fulfilling in my life right now are like, literally, I don't think any of them are ones I could have like put on a piece of paper 5 years ago and said, this is the thing I want to have happen. You know, like I just wouldn't have predicted it. So if I'd been laser focused on a thing that I put on a piece of paper to make happen, I could have missed some of these opportunities or, you know, things I've taken on. And so I'm a big fan of having a directional idea of where you're going and even sometimes some goals, but really kind of staying open to what presents itself.
Yeah. What else? We talked about your book, we talked about the company, community you've been building. You know, obviously can't talk about the whole trail all right now in 30 minutes or so, but is there anything else that really jumps out, Rebecca, that you'd want to share for people as they're, you know, we're kind of entering a new season a little bit, at least it feels like in the beginning of 2022 here. Anything else that you'd want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I would love for any of your listeners that feel comfortable in a space that's centered on women to check out Own Trail and share your trail. It's open to everyone that is comfortable in a women-centered space, and it's free to share your trail and to see trails of others. And we have a lot of tools for connecting with people in the community and making progress on your journey. And so, and we're growing through word of mouth. So to share that with all the inspiring women you know as well. And I read every trail that gets published. There's about 1,500 of them so far, and I read them all because they're fascinating and inspiring, and I love it. So I would love to see those of your listeners as well.
Awesome. And any other places that people can learn more and to check out?
Yeah, I mean, I and Own Trail are on all the, like, we're on Twitter and Instagram and, you know, all those places. So yeah, owntrail.com, but then, you know, you can find us on social platforms as well. And my book that I mentioned, Blaze Your Own Trail, there's a book link on the footer of, I love it. Nice. there's a book link in the footer of Own Trail if you want to find some ideas for local bookstores to buy from. You can get it at any bookstore, but there's a few local favorites listed there.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.